Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in Greenville, and you can find all of my contact information in the show notes if you need to reach out to me for any of your local real estate needs. And just a reminder, as always, please like, rate, review, subscribe, download, unsubscribe, resubscribe, whatever. Leave a comment, leave a review, any of those good things to support the show. I'd really appreciate it if you guys can do that, whether you're watching on YouTube, whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever platform. Please support the show by, at the very least, subscribing so you don't miss future episodes. But in addition to that, liking, rating, all of those good things would really help. Today we're going to be going over the market stats, which are now called monthly indicators, interestingly. For those of you who don't know, if you're a realtor, this might be more meaningful than if you're not a realtor. I pressed something. There we go. If you're not a realtor, this probably doesn't mean a whole lot. But if you're a realtor, you don't realize this, Joe Pitts, basically the MLS director in Greenville, resigned, and now we have Linda, who is now in charge of our local multiple listing service, which I shouldn't say in charge of it, but she's essentially running it. And what that means is she's also in charge of these market stats, and she's the one that is producing these. And so you'll notice a few little changes. And I noticed it right away. First off is the color scheme. It now matches the GGAR logo, which is nice. It's a nice, nice grayish, bluish color scheme, which is a bit of an update from that old, yellow and orange color scheme that we had before. So that's great. We also got these out earlier than we have in the past. Now, I was not able to do this for last week's episode, but if they continue to produce these statistics earlier than what it had been, then I might be able to do this episode earlier in the month, which will feel a little bit better, right? Because the statistics are always lagging by, you know, a few weeks anyway, right? Because we're now towards the end of May, and we're just now going over April stats. So it'd be nice if I could be going over the April stats more towards the beginning of May versus the end of May. So hopefully that will coordinate better with my podcast schedule and all of that here going forward. But we'll see. So some changes have happened. Joe is great. Linda also seems like she's doing a really good job so far. Very qualified for the position. So I'm excited to see where that goes. So let's just jump right in. If you're watching on YouTube, you can already see I've pulled up the monthly indicators. And we're going to start right at the top with new listings. New listings were up as they have been for the majority of the past 12 months. They were up 12.6%. So more sellers coming online right now. And this is something I keep hearing. I heard a realtor recently say that normally her business is 50-50 sellers and buyers. And right now it's very lopsided, like 75-25 sellers to buyers. And this is what's happening is that, there's just a lot more sellers than buyers right now. And that's what's caused the softening of the market. Oftentimes sellers are also buyers, but we're in a weird market right now, where we have more sellers than buyers. When that happens, that can result in a buyer's market, as we've discussed many times. But new listings, we had 2,555 new listings for the month of April. If that holds, if that doesn't get revised, that'll be the most new listings ever that we have had ever in 1 month in Greenville. Now, it's only a little bit higher than what March was. March was 2,551, but still, that is a new listings record if that holds for the month of April 2025. April of last year was 2,269. So almost 300 new listings more for April this year versus last year. Pending sales. This one is the one that's always has heavy revisions for the most recent month. So the most recent month looks really low, right? It says 975 pending sales versus 1,617 last year. Don't look at that. That's a 39.7% decrease year on year. That's going to get revised. Let's look back at March. March was revised. That was a big revision, okay? March originally, and I've got off to the side on a separate screen here, what March came in before the revision, it was 952 pending sales. That got revised all the way up to 1,572. So over a 600 sales revision. And I thought that we would probably end up year on year a little bit below March 2024, but we actually went up 1.8% because March of last year was 1,544 pending sales. Now 1,572 for March of this year. I'd be surprised if that held for the month of April, though, because April came in at 975, like I said, versus 1,617 April last year. Even with a similar revision to March, April should still end up being down year on year, unless we get some kind of a massive revision. At some point, I'm going to probably talk to Linda to try to understand why these big revisions are happening. I really don't understand it, but it just is what it is. But basically, I would expect April to probably be to come in a hair low after this revision comes in for pending sales. But regardless, we've been kind of hovering in comparable territory for now several months. For the entire year, very comparable in terms of pending sales to last year. January was down 0.6%. February is up 4.2%. March was up 1.8%. And I'm projecting April to be close to being flat, maybe slightly below what April was last year. So really, those are all very, very comparable numbers to last year. So new listings data is strong. A lot more new listings, but in terms of sales, that's not resulting in more sales versus last year. So what the end result is, when you get a lot more new listings, but not a lot more pending sales, that causes inventory to go up, which we'll talk about here in a second. Now, the interesting thing, we've talked about this multiple times, we're still seeing the trend of more closed sales versus last year. So I think there's a variety of reasons for this. Again, I'm not going to go too far into the weeds, but I think it's more just sellers and buyers understanding what the market is. Sellers understanding better what they need to do in order to sell a home. You can't just put a home on the market that has all sorts of problems with it and expect it to sell itself. That doesn't happen anymore. Homes have to be updated, in good condition, priced right, all of those things. If they're not, they just don't sell. Like it's really that simple. And it's taken sellers a few years to get used to that because we had a few years where you could just put anything on the market. You could put a terrible condo on the market that, you know, needed new carpet and smelled like cats and everything. And somebody out there would buy it, right? In 2021, maybe even parts of 2022. That's not the case anymore. It took the market a few years to kind of figure that out. Now we're seeing a higher close rate when it comes to these transactions. Last year, I had several of my listings that had many contracts on them that fell through. I'm not seeing that this year. So anecdotally, I am personally experiencing as well that we have fewer of these pending sales that aren't getting to the closing table. So that's great. Everyone likes that, right? That is really, out of all of the things in here, what buyers and sellers, what should make them the most excited is that fewer homes going under contract, or I should say more homes going under contract or getting to the closing table than last year. That's great for all parties because everyone is upset when a home goes under contract and then it doesn't sell. So closed sales up 9.6% year on year. April 25 was 1,531 as compared to 1,397 last year. We've now had seven straight months of positive closed sale data. After the year before, it was kind of a mixed bag. Days on market until sale. We are seeing the usual seasonality, okay? And this is, you know, we've talked about this a little bit too, is that if we saw normal seasonal trends, we would expect days on market to start to go down during the spring and summer season. That's exactly what happened. Month on month, we went all the way down from March was 58 days on market, now went all the way down to 48 days for the month of April. That is, again, if you're a seller, that's great news. To be able to have the average number of days from when your property is listed to when it's an offer is accepted go down to basically a month and a half, as opposed to 2 months, that's a big difference, right? That means that that homes are selling more quickly. That means that you're more likely to get a higher price point. So if you're a seller, that's good news. Year on year, barely an increase. So April of last year, and this is interesting, right? Because we've had some pretty big increases recently in terms of days on market from a year on year perspective, right? So, I mean, we can go back, go back all the way to August of last year. It was a 9.8% increase in terms of days on market. September was a 22.5% increase year on year. October, 28.6%. November, 17.8%. December, only 5.9%. But then January, 17.3% increase. February, 8.8% increase year on year. March, 7.4% increase year on year. Now April, just a 1 day or a 2.1% increase versus last year, 48 days on market versus 47 days on market last year. So that's interesting. I'm going to be very interested to see how the remainder of our spring and summer season compares to last year, because this is a number that's kind of swinging in the seller's direction. And now we've seen, you know, this has been the big story of this year. Is the market swinging one way or the other? And it's been swinging the buyer's direction for some time now, but now that we're entering that normal seasonal busy season, it seems to be swinging a little bit more in the seller's direction. And we can see this again with the median sales price. The median sales price held firm month on month. We had the exact same print, $315,000. That's what last month was, and that's basically what the month before was, which is interesting. It's rare that we have three straight months like this, because February was $314,900, March $315,000, April $315,000, and that is a 1.6% year-on-year increase from the $310,005 of April last year, which is basically identical to March as well, which was $310,000, also a 1.6% increase. Of course, that $5 difference doesn't register in the percent increase. So very interesting. So we now had basically three straight flat month-on-month prints. But in terms of year-on-year, we've had three straight increases after having had five straight decreases. So again, those increases are not huge, right? 1.6%. But 1.6%, that's something, right? That is, if you're a seller, you want to see that positive. And really, if you're a buyer, it's not positive from the standpoint of obviously prices going up. But for the most part, that's still an increase that is still going to be below general wage increases. So that's still a positive thing, right? If you're a buyer, really markets are healthier, and there are more options for all parties, including buyers, when we are in an appreciating market. Buyers always talk about as if, you know, if you're on Chronically Online and you hear all these people, the doomers that are talking about how we're going to have a real estate crash, blah, blah, blah. They've been predicting this for years upon years now. They are really excited, really, really hoping that we see a big crash, that we see prices go way, way down. The problem is that most of these buyers then would lose their jobs, or credit channels wouldn't be available to them, or whatever the case may be, they wouldn't be able to buy a home. So it's actually, for the most part, as a realtor, I would prefer to see small increases, even if, you know, if I were a realtor where 80% of my clients were buyers or 90% of my clients were buyers, I still would not want to see the median sales price going down too far or too consistently, because that has ripple effects through the market as a whole that ultimately, at the very least indirectly, if not directly, hurts buyers. So that's something to keep in mind. A 1.6% increase, buyers should be really happy about that, right? Because that's just enough of an increase to help sellers perhaps get enough equity into their homes to be able to put them on the market. But it's not so much of an increase that buyers are getting priced out. So as people's wages increase, eventually, even if the housing market continues to go up at this pace, wage increases should go faster than a 1.6% home value increase. Again, we're looking at median sales prices. That's not a one-to-one correlation with actual home value appreciation, but it's the closest metric that we have when we're looking at this. The average, again, I say this every week or every month we talk about this. The average is skewed by if we get a bunch of really expensive homes sold or a bunch of really cheap homes sold, this average can be skewed. That being said, if you're interested, the average was $387,272 sales for the month of April. That's a 4.2% increase from $371,760 April of last year. Percent of list price received. This one also started to go in the seller's direction. 98.6% percent of list price received. So you list a home for $100,000, or perhaps maybe you list it for $110,000, right? We'll give this as an example. List a home for $110,000. Not too many homes are listing for $110,000, but again, using as an example, listed for $110,000, it doesn't sell, you reduce the price eventually to $100,000, and then it goes under contract and sells for $98,600. That's what a 98.6% of list price received means, okay? Now, what does that mean in comparison to previous years? Well, that's a slight increase, a 0.1% increase year on year. It's a 0.2% increase month on month. So we're pretty close to 99%. So this number is running a bit hot. This is basically close to, if not hotter, than what we were experiencing pre-pandemic. So again, this is reflecting of kind of a healing market, we might say, the market kind of getting its sea legs. Because if you look at recent years, it's been all over the map, but now we're starting to see something a little bit more normal. This tells me that sellers are pricing their homes correctly. And basically that's the case, right? When we're in the 98% range, that's really where we have been since 2017. And so 98% range, that usually means that sellers are pricing their homes correctly. Buyers are being appropriately aggressive, all of those good things. Once we start to get to 99%, that's like really hot. So we'll have to keep tracking this. At 99%, usually that's telling me that we're in more of that seller's market kind of mode. I'd be pretty surprised if we hit 99% in this metric this year. But you never know. There's a lot that could happen. A lot that could change. Mortgage rates could come down. They haven't. They could. And that could change the dynamic. We shall see. Housing Affordability Index, it went up versus last year, which is great. And this is exactly what I'm telling you guys about, is that the Housing Affordability Index takes into account people's wages and borrowing rates, okay? And both of those things are more positive than they were last year, even though prices are up. The net result is that the Housing Affordability Index has become better. It's now at 96. We want it to be at least 100, but it's at 96, which is up from 95 one year ago. Now, that did go down month to month, but this is, again, this is a seasonal metric as well. So it's not uncommon for it to go down during the busier spring months. So I'm more interested in the year on year. We went from 95 to 96 this year. So that means in general, the housing market is ever so slightly more affordable than it was last year. Inventory of homes for sale. Okay, this is what we were talking about. Now, this is a metric that also tends to be off year on year. So I'm pulling up off to the side here what I have for March. So March originally printed at 5,303, and that got revised all the way down to 4,681. Okay, so a big, big downward revision of roughly 600 and change. Okay, very similar to the other big revision that we saw. That being said, that was still a massive increase year on year versus inventory in March of last year, which was 3,715, 26% increase. We went from 3,715 of March 24 to 4,681 of March 25. So this is what's happening. We've got a lot of new listings year on year, but not a lot of new and really flat pending sales year on year. Now closed sales are up a little bit, but this specific metric is talking about active status. So this metric takes out not just the closed sales, but also takes out the under contracts as well. So this is where it's tied at the hip to pending sales. April is going to be another big increase year on year. I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but if we have a similar revision, right? April currently is at 5,681 homes for sale. If we have a similar revision to what we had in March, that'll come down to around 5,000, and April of 24 was 3,946. So I think that we're going to see a similar roughly 25% year-on-year increase in inventory. To see numbers that large, I mean, that's substantial. Buyers have 25% more options than they had a year ago. So this number, great for buyers, right? Not all the numbers we've looked at are inherently great for buyers. We're not seeing a lot of numbers that are like inherently bad for buyers. But if you're a seller, this really isn't a great number, right? And this is historically high. I would need to draw a line straight across. But it looks like, you know, this is comparable to 2016, if not maybe 2015 levels. It's gonna end up being revised, so probably closer to 2016 levels. But this is what we're seeing right now, is the market has shifted and it's continuing to shift. And the month supply, again, this is taking the inventory of homes for sale at the end of a given month divided by the average monthly pending sales from the past 12 months. Both of those numbers get big, big revisions. So we're not going to look so much at April of this past year. What we are going to look at, or April of this year, what we are going to look at is March. March, originally, when it printed last month, was at 4 months of inventory. It got revised down to 3.4 months of inventory. Now, 3.4 is the highest we've had since September, and that's a 17.2% increase over the 2.9 of the prior year. So that's a substantial difference in month supply, and that's to be expected. Again, what we're seeing, the story of this episode is more inventory, but a market that is still being stable, okay? More inventory, stable market. And here we have April showed 4.3 months of inventory. That's going to get revised down. What's it going to get revised down to? I don't know. Maybe 3.5, 3.6, 3.7. Regardless, we're starting to creep up, okay? And we're starting to see levels that could compare favorably to the pre-pandemic market. And so we'll keep tracking that. But that's a big increase, right? To go from March from 2.9 months of inventory in 2024 to March of 2025 at 3.4, that's big. That's substantial. So again, all that that means is that the market is shifting and has been shifting for quite some time now, a little bit more in the buyer's direction. That should come as no surprise to anyone. But it's good when the data bears out what we think we know, right? Because we don't just want to go off of vibes. We want to go off of data. We're in a very vibes-oriented world right now where a lot of people are just flat-out ignoring data or just not trusting data. I'm not that type. I want the data to always support my priors. If I think something's happening but the data doesn't support it, then I want to try to figure out why. Right now, what the data supporting is that the market is fairly stable. It is kind of obviously still softening more in the buyer's direction, But at the same time, it hasn't completely fallen out to where sellers are just completely in trouble. We've talked about in the past, some sellers are, you know, if you bought in 2023, you're trying to sell now, you might be in trouble. If you bought last year and you're trying to sell now, good luck. You probably haven't had enough appreciation because 1.6% appreciation, that's not even going to cover a lot of your closing fees. So you've got to keep those things in mind. And if you have any questions about that, please let me know. My contact info is in the show notes. Happy to talk to you guys, even just about the show, right? You say you don't need a realtor. That's totally fine, but you want to talk shop. I'm happy to do that. Text me first. Don't just call me out of the blue. I will probably ignore your call thinking that it's spam. Okay. Particularly if it's not an 864 number. If it's an 864 number and I can pick up, I will. But if you're out of state, I'm going to assume it's a spam call. So please text me ahead of time. My contact info in the show notes. If you like this content, please like, rate, review, subscribe, and we will talk again next time.